from stpetecatalyst.com.
Hello again, Bill DeYoung here. It's the Catalyst Sessions, and you know what? It's June 16th already. Tonight, my guest is a repeat visitor. This is Cassandra Rose, who is here on April the 1st. Say hello, Cassandra.
Hello.
And we're so glad to have her back to talk with her again. And right now, I'm going to hand it over to her to start us off.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for having me on again. And I'm gonna play a new song of mine. It's not new, like after shutdown new.
Like COVID new.
COVID new. Right. This is pre-COVID new, but it's not recorded anywhere. So this is called Tiptoes and Whispers. Seek now, you won't make a peep now, hiding from you. Castles of pillows, white sheets that billow, surrender. With you. To play, where are you? Can you come out to play? Giggles and sliders, we are so tiny, wrestling with you. Cartoons in the morning, there is no warning, wrestling with you. Forts made of cushions, but we know that we will never win. With you, where are you? Can you come out to play? Where are you? Can you come out to play? It's a storming, we can see it on your face. Tagging, that's it now, there is no home base. Run and go quickly, the lightning is striking. And I don't like this game. Where are you? Can you come out to play? Where are you?
play.
So beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
First thing you made me think of was, I played a bit of guitar in my life, in my earlier life, and it makes me think of the kind of song that you write very late at night in a dark room by yourself, you know, where you can kind of roll along with that open, kind of almost modal, you know, kind of going up and down with the night. Is that, I was going to say, where did that song come from? Tell me when. What inspired that?
You kind of hit it on the head. I did write that in a room by myself. It was dark, and I was just playing around with my one of my electric guitars through my Vox amp, and just kind of found that I'd call it a chord structure, but I mean, I'm not really playing any chords, and then I just started writing, and that song I had a thought at some point that I wanted to write a concept album about sort of my childhood and growing up, but I abandoned that idea because it was like super bumming me out. But that song kind of came out of it. It's about living in a household with someone who's suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. And so what that's like, trying to understand that as a child, understanding that sometimes the person that you love isn't behaving in the way that, that you're used to, or that you want them to, that you remember them being. And basically that's where that chorus comes in. Like, where are you? Can you come out to play? Because, you know, whoever this person is different and they're suffering. And I don't know what to do with that. Cause I'm, you know, 8.
how much of a percentage would you say of the songs that you write come from somewhere, you know, autobiographical or somewhere inside of you, something maybe you've experienced, or how much you just make stuff up?
I would say almost 99% of the stuff that I write is autobiographical. I'm not good at the practice of just making stuff up. Or that's not true. I like the practice of making stuff up, but if I'm trying to convey something on when I create an album, I think I definitely want it to be more personal. Yeah. I think the only song that I can really think of that is in my like catalog that wasn't really autobiographical is A Cloud. And that just came from a haiku, and it was just kind of like, imagining I was just a little cloud floating along. But then too, you know, how do you pull yourself out of that? Cause when I look at the song, really, mm-hmm. you know, some of it is kind of, you know, my philosophy on life a little bit too. I think it's difficult to pull your point of view out of a song, or maybe that's just, I could be speaking for myself. You know, I'm sure other people are able to do that, but I definitely, if I'm writing a song that I'm going to be singing over and over and over again, I want it to be meaningful for me.
It means something to you. Sure. I don't know. What's the old cliche? I mean, do you write better when you're in a great mood, when you're in love or whatever, or when you're in the middle of something down, you know, what does it, or do you not, it, does it not matter when you're inspired, you're inspired?
That's a great question. I think it has more to do with when I give myself space to write, because I can certainly write songs, when I'm in a great mood. If I give myself the space to write, I'll come up with something. And then, I mean, just speaking from the current global, you know, crisis basically that's going on, I don't know if it's that I haven't given myself the space or just I just haven't been able to emotionally function really, other than just like coping. I admire so much the oh, Colleen Cherry is joining our Zoom call.
I forgot to tell you, I invited some friends.
Hi, Colleen Cherry.
Hi, Cassandra Rose.
I'm sorry to interrupt that, but there's Colleen. Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. It's good to see your face.
It's good to see your face.
I thought we'd try a little mini reunion of the orchestra here. Jeremy may be joining us here.
Okay. So. Yeah. I lowered
you
my...
You had to put the kids to bed. It's possible.
Oh, yeah. I lowered my armrest, so...
Did you just say that you haven't written anything at all during this weird period?
No, I started writing something just a couple days ago, or I don't know how long it's been now, because yesterday feels like it was last week. But
yeah.
But no, I mean, I can't write when I'm crying on the floor every other night. And that's pretty much what I was doing until maybe about a month ago. So I know that coming out of this and reflecting on this time will give me plenty of fuel. Once I have the creative space mentally to sit down and write, I'm going to have a ton to write about. But I think, you know, just in this space right now, in the space of coming to grips with what was happening and what I was trying to anticipate might be the future of what was going to happen to my career, I didn't have the emotional space to sit down and write. I admire so much the so many local artists were pushing out content, and I was just impressed, because I'm like, how are you doing that? Because I'm crying on the floor every other day.
Like, well, let me direct this at both of you from a performance standpoint. I mean, you're both performers. You know, this has been essentially, what is it, 2.5 months, 3 months, I don't know, whatever it's been.
Oh, 3 months.
Yeah, okay, 3 months like, of no gig.
Of
no actual interaction with anybody. Not the least of which, you're not doing what you do, which is sing and perform in front of people. I'll go with another old cliche. Is it sort of like you feel really hungry or like unfulfilled in some ways? And Colleen, let me start with you. I mean, I haven't seen you do too many of those ukulele videos lately. Have you?
Yeah.
Are you crying on the floor too?
I'm not crying on the floor. I am crying. Yeah. I mean, the past few weeks, with everything going on in the world, with everything, with all of the, you know, the police violence and the protests and everything going on, I feel like it's not time for me to be creating right now. It's time for me to be listening, because that's what I've been doing. I've been listening to seeing what my Black friends are doing and supporting what they're doing and having conversations with them and with, you know, just kind of engaging in the world in that way. Yeah, crying on the floor, not having the inspiration to create, but rather like listening and figuring out, okay, where can I help? Where can I support? It's not time to be writing songs about dogs right now. That's what I've been doing.
The dogs.
Those are the songs I've been writing.
Well, I have to say that's a beautiful sentiment. I agree with that. Let's put the dog songs on hold just for a little.
I had a couple like people request songs, and it was two or three weeks ago, and I just had to let them, like, hey, I can't right now. Mm-hmm. I owe you a song. I will get it to you. And I got to it last weekend when I was like, okay, I can sit down and I can get into a little brain space where I can write this. But Jeremy and I talked about this because we were working on a orchestra project, but we kind of put that to bed. We're like, now is not the time. Now is not the time for our voices as white artists right now to be doing that, doing this kind of like happy, fun time kind of project we were working on.
Well, I mean, that doesn't mean that they won't live again, that Cassandra
Correct.
Won't be
yeah,
out
yeah.
playing,
there's
doing gigs with her guitar, you know.
But I feel like anything right now as artists, if it's not, like, directly supporting the movement.
Yeah. Cassandra, how do you feel about that?
I mean, I definitely hear that. I have played four gigs in the last couple of weeks. One of my staple locations has had me out And I'm very grateful. And St. Pete venue had me out as well. And, you know, their staff was being very safe and everything. And I have to be honest, I didn't feel right promoting those shows. And like for a variety of reasons, it feels tone deaf. But also it's all the complications of, it is as a creative, maybe leader in the, you know, like as creatives, you end up being a little bit of a leader in your community, I think. And so as a creative person with a voice in your community, is it responsible for me to be asking people to congregate at a show? Is it responsible for me to, it just hasn't felt right. To even promote those shows for a variety of reasons. I've stayed pretty silent online about everything. I think I'm where Colleen is at right now, where I'm just trying to listen and hear. And I want to put out, you know, a statement or something to that effect about what's going on, but I'm still in the listening phase and really trying to formulate. There's just so much to take in right now. And I know a lot of me hasn't even had the room maybe to listen as much as I would like to, because I'm trying to cope with my personal situation, which sounds insensitive to even talk about, you know, what you're going through when there's this massive movement going on. So
just being in the middle of all this with no ready answers to anything is just, I feel blind. It's like wait until dark around here, you know, like what is going on? Where is this going? All of it, you know, and how is it going to end up? Well, that's a good dinner. Let me ask you about how the gigs went. You said that people were so, I mean, we all know now that bars are closing again because some people haven't been. And so was it cool? Did they stay away from you? Were they appreciative from a distance? Or what was that like?
The staff at both of the venues that I've played at have been awesome. And, I can tell that the venues are working really hard, to make sure that people can still patronize their businesses while being safe for everybody.
Yeah.
But I wanted to go on a rage about, on social media, but I've just been silent because there's too much to rage about right now, is that, you know, I'm at these venues and the staff are wearing cloth masks, which protects customers from the staff, but none of the customers, I mean, like 99% of the customers are not wearing masks.
Yeah.
So they feel like they're protected from the staff, but what about the staff that they love? They're just walking in and talking and they're not protecting the staff from them. And that has been really frustrating to see. And that just goes back around to the whole thing of, you know, is it responsible for me to promote shows even right now? I mean, I want to do the responsible thing. And right now I just don't even know what that is. And I don't know how to move forward. Really, I don't know what the right thing is. I know I can be safe. I know I can encourage people to be safe and do the right thing to protect the staff that they at this establishment that they love. But I don't, you know, I don't know what the answers are.
You know, I was reading this thing today about how so much of American society is just so fatigued by this isolation thing that maybe they're not, you know, they're willing to drink the Kool-Aid and believe that it's safe now, that it's over. And in fact, that it really looks like it's about to get worse. You know, that's a very sobering thing. And there's no question in this. I'm just joining the conversation a little bit. But you guys, let me go back to something though. But you know, there is, notwithstanding everything that's going on all sides, there is great joy in performing. And seeing it reflected, I've seen you both do it, you know, I don't know how many times, you know, with the orchestra and your various things. You got to miss that. You got to feel empty inside somehow.
I think, yeah. I mean, I think a lot of the crying on the floor every other day was literal grieving. It felt like grieving. Yeah. It felt like a death. Because I think when everything shut down, I immediately tried to, to wrap my head around how long. Like, I was not under the pretense that it was going to be 2 weeks and then everyone's going to be back to work. I think I really processed, like, no, this is going to have long-term consequences and I need to brace myself. So I think I almost went through a grieving period where it's like I'm not going to be a working musician for at least a year, and it might be longer. And I have to figure out what I'm going to do. And how can I still survive while not losing that part of myself that is so important to me.
Sure,
so it's, it felt like grieving. It still kind of feels like grieving. I don't know how else to describe it.
Well, it's like the idea of rehearsing just to rehearse. It's, not that you have a gig coming up or a show you're working on. It's just, I got to keep my fingers together. I got to keep my processes moving. That doesn't sound very appealing to me.
Yeah.
I'm talking about my distant past as a musician. It's like, okay, after a certain point, if there's no payoff at the end of the week or the end of the month, or I'm writing a song with somebody, I'm not going to pick up the frigging guitar. I don't do it to entertain myself anymore.
Yeah.
There's no question here, lady, so feel free.
It's hard. And, when your social circles also revolve around who you perform with, because that's what you do. You spend so much time performing that you don't have too much of a social life outside of the performing arts world. Like, I haven't seen most of my friends in months, and it sucks. Like, it's awful to not have that connection, when you see these people like every single day for, however many months of the year when you're working on a project together and you have that sort of bond. Like, it just sucks to not have those people in your life and that kind of creative energy. It's like, yeah, it's been great to be able to work on stuff digitally and, get innovative with what we're doing and what we're making, but it's not the same as being in the room and making it together.
Colleen, didn't you just say that you and Jeremy and I guess some of the others had been working on another one of those massive choral videos and just
we're working on another one, and we were going to feature, local venues around the area as like, hey, when we open again, we'll see you soon. I'm not going to name what it was because it was kind of like a surprise, and we're still going to do it eventually, but we just felt like we were kind of in the throes of like, okay, the planning stages of it, and we're like, now is not the time for it. It's not the message. Just with everything going on with all of the unrest and all of it, and with the pandemic, we kind of don't want to like promote go out. It's the same kind of concept that Cassandra feels of like, do we promote the show? Do we promote, like, come to these venues, come to these places.
Doesn't it feel
come
like
to Florida, where
everything that's, that's part of your life, with the exception of the fitness stuff that Cassandra, that you do, feels a little frivolous right now in this atmosphere. Not only there's the danger and all that, nobody feels like singing Don't Worry, Be Happy right now, and singing along and, are listening to Leonard Skinner in a bar. Those people might, I don't know, but they're probably not watching us right now. But Colleen, do you teach online? What do you? I know Cassandra doesn't. I wanted to ask her about that. But what are you doing online?
I'm not doing a whole lot online. I have been working the whole time through SPCA. I've been working with the public this entire time. Since June, we opened up our animal hospital, like the lobby to the public, like everything was curbside before that. But now I'm having actual humans coming in every single day and interacting with hundreds of people every day. And like Cassandra said, a lot of them don't wear masks, and it's scary for the staff. Like, we're starting to crack down a little bit more with all of the cases rising in Pinellas County of saying like, if you come inside, you need to wear a mask. If you feel safe and you're fine, that's cool, but our staff needs to be protected because we're seeing so many people every day.
Yeah.
So as far as online goes, I've actually been taking a class. I've been looking to expand my skills. So I'm like, all right, if I'm not performing, where else can I go? So I'm actually taking a sketch writing class that Gavin Hawk is teaching through American Stage. Never really written much other than like, lyrics and songs and things like that. I've never really delved into comedy writing. So it's fun. We had our first online class last week, and we have it every Wednesday for the next couple weeks.
That's cool. Yeah. Cassandra, you're teaching. I wrote this down because I stole it from your Facebook page. I'm teaching a children's online session next week in American State. What is that?
It started on Monday, and Jeremy and I are actually teaching it together. We are teaching kindergarten through fifth grade via Zoom. Mm-hmm. And the class is called Music Makers. And so that has been incredibly challenging. I've never done lesson planning for this period of time for this age group. And B, trying to figure out how can we be music makers when you can't play music at the same time through Zoom because of the delays. Yeah. So how do we do this together when we're apart? So it's been incredibly challenging. It's definitely been, a growing opportunity for me personally. I'm used to being in front of a class, you know, like you said, teaching group fitness. I've taught dance to kids before, but this virtual environment and trying to figure out how to navigate that musically has been an incredible challenge. So I'm definitely exhausted tonight, but it's definitely a good experience. I'm very happy for it and for the opportunity, because you just don't hear. I mean, in the, like, theaters have to be shut right now, and so to get work from a theater through the outreach that they're doing into the community is really cool. So I'm happy to be a part of it.
Are you still teaching the fitness stuff online too? Last time we talked, you were doing that.
Yeah, the one of the gyms that I work at has opened back up to the public. So I actually taught there physically for the first time today.
Wow.
That was weird. The other facility that I was teaching at regularly, teaching at for 10 years, it's a corporate facility, and they're not even looking to have their staff come back into office until September. So they're not going to have, you know, group classes, and I don't anticipate they're going to do group classes until October, November. And even then, my schedule will have changed. I'll have had to find something else to do. I probably won't have space for that anymore. So like I said, a lot of grieving, a lot of trying to problem solve.
What's the old saying? You know, God closes the window, opens the door, or something. It's like there's another version of our lives coming. You know, and you go kicking and screaming into it, and it's not always easy. I could use all sorts of metaphors here about awkward births and stuff, but it's going to be okay. Both of you, it's going to be okay. I believe that.
We're still here. You know, we're all still breathing and doing what we can do. That's all we can do.
Such a pleasure to see you both tonight. Cassandra, you got one? You want to do one last song for us to take us out?
Sure.
I asked her to do this, all right? So it's not a big surprise.
Yeah, I'll. Since we talked about it, that'll just give me an easy out to go ahead and play A Cloud.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
I love this song so much.
Hopefully my whistler is good. So I like to call this my happy little Bob Ross of a song. So we're just going to put a little happy cloud right here. And I liked this song so much that I made two music videos for it. One's a stop motion video, and one I recorded with my ukulele on the hilltops of Switzerland back when we could still travel. So this is A Cloud. Soak me up.
sing as you cry. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Shrinking as I make things grow, and maybe they will live forever. Oh, 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 you, it matters not the length of the time I'm disappearing. I arrive, soak me up, lay me down, drifting as a
should end on a hopeful note, because that whole interview was pretty dark.
Yeah,
it was hopeful and lovely.
It was really nice. You made us feel good, and that's the power and the beauty of what people like you guys do. You know, you just transformed that, and it's a beautiful moment to end on. Cassandra Rose, Colleen Cherry, thank you very much for being here tonight.
Thank you so much for having me.
See you guys soon on stage, I bet.
I hope so.
If it's safe for everybody.
We'll see you there soon, I know. Bye-bye.
Bye. Take care.
From stpcatalyst.com.